Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. I have the honor to chat with a wonderful colleague in this profession who's been doing great work for many years. The one and only Dr. John Geller is joining us, and we're going to be talking about a very cool initiative that is innovative, groundbreaking, bold. Should I use these words to help increase access to veterinary care? How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Adam. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the introduction. Maybe overdid a little bit, but I'm very glad to be here.
Well, it's Adam Christman. I either go big or go home. Those that know me, they know. These are the words that resonate with me. So a little bit of information about our wonderful friend here. If you don't know who Dr. Geller is, after working as an emergency veterinarian for over 20 years, Dr. Geller is now the founder and national director of the Street Dog Coalition, which provides free medical care to pets of those experiencing homelessness. The Street Dog Coalition has volunteer veterinary teams in over 40 cities in the United States. And Dr. Geller graduated from CSU, Colorado State University's College of Veterinary Medicine, and became board certified in canine and feline medicine by the American Board of Veterinary Practitioners. He's also been active in the field of wildlife and, of course, animal welfare issues as a committee member as well. His current issues or areas of focus are street medicine and encourage collaboration with other healthcare practitioners and providing the One Health street outreach and a very cool program that he's about to share with our listeners right now. So talk to us, Dr. Geller. What have you been up to?
Okay, Adam. Well, like many of you, I have too much stuff on my plate, but I'm trying to keep things under control. I have, and you mentioned that we have teams in 40 U.S. cities, and now we have teams in 60 U.S. cities, and each one's led by a volunteer veterinarian. So, you know, we think there's probably about 200,000 pets that we're helping out in the country based on the statistics of how many people are homeless and how many have pets. My interests have moved upstream. We have a good program going. I think we're going to be able to provide good basic care to those pets of people experiencing at risk of homelessness. Now I'm looking at the bigger issue, which is so many low-income families and families in need and the working poor that have pets just cannot afford veterinary care. They just can't afford it, so they don't get it. And of course, bad things happen. And there's always the overpopulation of pets issue out there. So this program is targeting, again, those working families and households with pets. And it's called Petticade. It's also called Petticade 2030, to be honest, because we think it's going to take a few years to get this rolling. It's somewhat self-explanatory. It's actually a supplement. It's a proposed federal and state Medicaid supplement to people that are already on Medicaid. And there's close to 80 million people that are already on it. If they have pets, they're going to be allowed to enroll two pets as a supplement to their Medicaid into this Petticaid program. And those pets will each be provided with $400 of veterinary care per year, per pet as an allowance, and they will be paying a 20% copay for that care. So it's a radical idea in the sense that it's the first time that government funding will be applied toward veterinary care for pets. And obviously there's some taxpayer involvement here in this funding. To give you an overview of the numbers, Adam, tell me, what do you think, how much do you think is spent on Medicaid every year right now in the US?
Has to have a B in it. I want to say a B, billion.
Yeah, okay. You're warm. I'm putting it on the spot, but I've asked my friends. I mean, it's good information just to know. You know, walk around information, but you want to take a guess?
Oh, I'll just say 1 billion, but I don't know.
Okay. Well, you're a little off. It's actually 830 billion. Wow. So it's a lot. This program actually is around $8 billion. So it's 1% of what Medicaid costs. So because that's the question that's always come up, what's the cost of this program? We kind of back calculated there, it probably would help up to 26 million pets could be enrolled in a given year. And so this can provide that, you know, the average amount of veterinary care provided to dogs and cats every year is a little less than $400, a little bit more for dogs, a little bit less for cats. So that $400 allowance should cover basic preventive care and maybe some urgent care. And on top of that, we're embedding a sterilization clause that folks that do sign up for this supplement within the first year, if they have an intact animal, that animal gets sterilized as part of this program with a 20% copay, unless there's a veterinarian waiver, a medical waiver for that. And to be honest with you, there's a lot of other information I can go into, but that's the basic concept. And I'm curious what your reaction to it is. And I wanted to mention also, we're going to be piloting this in a pet-friendly state like Colorado, using mostly state Medicaid funds initially, because we know it's going to be a big deal on the federal level. It's going to have to go through Congress, et cetera.
Yeah, this is the first time that I'm hearing this to the listeners, by the way, because I told them I want to go in blind and not listen to it beforehand. I think that's absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. I was just writing all these things down as you're speaking here. I mean, two pets in the household, $400 per year. I mean, that is absolutely a game changer for how we can do veterinary medicine. Walk me through how that works. And so how does someone enroll then, and if they already have Medicaid? Walk me through that process then.
So there'll be two things happening. And I mentioned to you, and I don't think he'll mind bringing up his name, Dr. Michael Blackwell, who started Align Care, which is actually a similar program, but without the government funding piece. And that's the issue, is how do you find sustainable funding for a program like this? That's right. You know, we're calculating it at $7.9 billion per year. So someone on, so the federal government, of course, has these Medicaid rolls, and the states have them too. Those people will all be notified that if they have pets, they have the option to enroll two pets per year. And as soon as they sign up, they will then have an access to a network of hospitals that will be created that's being willing to provide this care. Those hospitals will not be asked to do any discounting for the most part. They will charge their normal and customary fees. They will be paid directly from Medicaid, so the clients won't be receiving any of these funds. And so it's very similar to what a doctor's office on the medical side would be doing when they agree to accept Medicaid patients. That's how it works. They would go to the veterinarian, they'd make a 20% copay up front as part of the estimate, and then the balance would be covered as long as within the allowance by Medicaid. And I added this, the sterilization clause is controversial because, you know, mandatory sterilization doesn't ring well, certainly on the people side. But I think with pets, I think we all understand that if someone's really struggling to get veterinary for their care for their pet, making sure that pet is sterilized or ensuring that is going to prevent all the kinds of issues that could come up with dystocias and C-sections and unwanted pets. So intuitively, I think it makes sense, but I'm curious what your initial feedback is hearing this for the first time.
I think it's much needed. I think it's amazing, honestly. You know, I mean, something's better than nothing, but the fact that you have this program, like a good plan in place with it, I think is easily sustainable. I mean, financially, we have to continue to keep it funded, to your point. But I do think that's wonderful. I was just thinking of the what ifs. You know, I mean, there's so many what ifs I could have in VetMed, but the whole referral specialty hospital situation, is there something that would happen with that if they are on Medicaid and they have to say go for an ultrasound, or what does that look like?
Yeah, that's kind of phase two.
Okay.
So phase one is really providing, you know, really solid preventive care. You know, that $400 should allow that to happen. And even in the first year, if we can get some competitive prices for sterilization, it'll still allow for things like vaccines, internal parasites, external parasites. So yes, that it is not going to provide coverage for specialty care or emergency care, but you know, it could cover a good portion of urgent care.
Right.
And the good thing about it being $8 billion, which is a lot, is it has 1% of Medicaid. This can probably be funded without necessarily raising taxes. And I think that's going to come up for everybody. They're going to say, well, I will not pay one more penny of taxes for some federal program, regardless of what it's for. But it could be more of a reallotment. There's, you know, there's always all kinds of workarounds that can happen within federal and state governments to make these funds available. I did want to mention there's two things driving this idea. One is that more and more people are unable to afford veterinary care every year. There's actually three things. Number two is there are now documented, objective, quantifiable benefits to human health from having pets. And I'm sure you're aware of a lot of that research, which we're collecting. And number three, pets are considered more and more each year a part of a family. And the numbers that we had recently was 85% of dog owners and 76% of cat owners consider their pets to be part of the family. So as that number edges up, it kind of makes sense. Of course, they're not, pets are not people. We can get deep into discussions about that, but they are part of households and families. They're parts of families. So if you agree on those three things, then this program makes sense. And the way I like to do things is, it's not necessarily, I don't look at it as a stepwise process. I look at it as the end point. Someone enrolls their pets, they go to a hospital, and they get that care. And now we just have to connect the dots between where we are now and making that happen. And that's kind of what Dr. Blackwell and I are working on, trying to create a large working group within the veterinary community of folks that are interested. We're really looking for, you know, devil advocacy so that we can hit the objections that are going to come up along the way, especially in regards to a legislation that might provide funding either on a state or federal level.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't think you'll have, I mean, I don't want to say bias or whatever, but you're going to have a lot of people that will be very interested in this, because as we are getting older, and exactly to your point, we value and honor the human-animal bond immensely, especially as we get older. And we, you know, we have clients out there too. And many of you listeners out there know this, that either the spouse has passed away and that animal is everything that they have to live for, everything. I mean, they will go without food themselves in order to feed their own animals and provide the care. So the fact that we have an opportunity here in VetMed to uphold our oath and to do medicine well, knowing that we have this opportunity, I think is fantastic and groundbreaking. And I want to say, we said this before we recorded this, the timing is right, Dr. Geller, right? I mean, I know it's like no good time, but timing is right for this.
Yeah, I agree that that's just kind of what I felt intuitively. But it's also because of this increased research showing, you know, lower blood pressure, lower incidence of diseases in people that have pets versus people that don't, that timing is right, and pets being more and more part of the family. And it makes sense if you look at it in kind of a One Health perspective. I mean, we're providing the safety net for people, and insofar as pets are part of that household structure, and insofar as it's going to cost 1% of what it costs for people, it makes sense.
Right. It'll be interesting to see how legislation goes. Do you think you have to work with, to the listeners out there, like the VMAs around the country to get support like that? What does that look like in terms of legislation?
So on the legislative side, working on the federal level is going to be a big push. That kind of policy that does involve taxpayer money has to come from the House of Representatives. So now politics comes into it. And the reason this may be down the road on the federal level is because of the upcoming election. You know, with a strong Republican base in Congress and the Senate, there'll probably be opposition to anything that's considered increased federal spending. So however, on the state level, as states can opt in or out of Medicaid supplements, there's much more a promise and a road to viability by going with pet-friendly states like Colorado, you know, California, probably New Jersey, where state legislators can approve a budgeting for their pets on a state level using similar Medicaid funds that they're distributing right now. So you've kind of reached, on a legislative level, There's a lot to learn and a lot to do. And I know there's people out there a lot more experienced than
Right.
myself. But yeah, we like to work with AVMA advocacy, that group they have in Congress, state level, locate, find pet-friendly legislators. So our initial push would be on a state level and then pilot it and just see how it goes.
Yeah. And that's why I ask, because just me being on the board for New Jersey Veterinary Medical Association, and just know that with legislation that comes in, it's you really are part of decision-making processes that come into play. Yes, we're not a House of Representatives, but we know people who are that we have conversations with. So if we can help be those conduits for those conversations, I'm all in. So that's why I always say to the vet students and veterinarians to get involved. You don't have to be on the board, but just to be involved in the local committees within your local, in your state level to really help make something like this come to fruition. So, how far? I think you said 2030. Do you think that would be a guesstimation of where we're heading? I know it's difficult to tell.
I've been told to kind of under promise, so to speak, and over deliver, a project like this. I work with, there's some groups, a group called HABRI, that works with Human Animal Bond in Washington, D.C., and they've tried to push legislation. And they say if this is going to involve a piece of federal legislation, it could take two or three rounds. Each round is a 2 year. So this things I've learned, you probably already know that Congress, they serve 2 years. And so every 2 years they can reintroduce bills. Many of them get killed, never make it to the floor. So that's why we kind of pushed it out that this could be two or three iterations that go through Congress. But in the meantime, on a state level, there's probably a lot of other options to fund this kind of program. The cost is going to be quite a bit less on the state level. And so I think some things could happen now. And this could be a 1 year project in Colorado. I have the opportunity to speak to some legislators coming up here pretty soon.
Right. I think it's fantastic with the work that you're doing. It's not easy, but keep fighting that fight and keep making that change happen. Where can we learn more about you, Dr. Geller, maybe the Street Dog Coalition project? Anything else you want to mention to the listeners for them to check out?
That's a good point, Adam. We don't have much out there, but we have a website that's going to be called pedicaid.org. And once that's available, all the information that we have and progress and updates will be there. We're really looking for input from veterinarians right now on how they see the program. Not quite so much ready to put it out there to the general public. And so the best way is actually probably to right now is for folks to email me. And the simplest email address is john@thestreetdogcoalition.org. So that's all one big word.
Okay.
This
Yeah, we'll put all
isn't
that in there.
necessarily a street dog project because we are now talking about the working poor and families in need versus
Right.
homelessness. But the issue with covering homeless pet owners that we've been working on is they don't have any money at all, so they wouldn't be able to even do a 20% copay. But I think
Right.
it's time that we move upstream, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. Excellent. Well, we'll be watching and supporting you any way we can. So, to the listeners, please make sure we try to band together on this initiative. I think this is what we should be doing for the profession as we're moving forward into 2030 and beyond, of course. So, thank you so much for all the great work that you're doing, Dr. Geller.
Thanks a lot, Adam. I really appreciate it. Really appreciate your support, and we'll see what happens.
You know it. I'll be here cheering you on. I got the bold words that I love, so get ready.
All right, man. That makes me happy.
You're welcome. Yeah, thank you, everybody. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate the podcast. We'll put everything in the show notes as well. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum. Awesome.